I'm Bae, and you're listening to Bae Baltimore, a weekly pop culture and society podcast recorded in a quiet neighborhood in Baltimore. This episode, I'm clearly sick. I'm very congested, and if you can tell by my voice, I have been coughing a lot, but I'm not going to talk about my sickness. I'm going to talk about a case that has drawn my attention because of all of the facts that surround it and how it's been handled up till now. I'm talking about the Fallow case and the disappearance of the Fallow children. Okay, so I think I was going to talk about a bunch of different things this week. Because a lot has happened. By the time you're listening to this episode, the Oscars have already happened. So you know that Parasite won Best Picture. More people are happy than are not. And everybody's looking at the memes from their reaction, especially the director and all of that, and talking about the first, I think it was the first POC woman to win, producer who produced a film to win an Oscar as well, or that, an Oscar. Yeah, so, it was interesting. Some other people won some other stuff. I didn't watch because I don't, but you know what I did. I went on Twitter and Twitter told me. And then there's a conversation that's happening now, or the last day and a half, maybe, about Natalie Portman and her dress and how it was, she had this beautiful dress on that on, she had a dress and then a cape, I guess. And then on the hem of the cape on around her, the front of the cape itself on both sides, imagine a cape that wraps around you but doesn't close. Anyway, on the hems that are closest to each other, as if you pulled the cape closed on you. She had, or the designer that she was wearing had stitched the names of all of the women directors who were not chosen this year for the Oscars. And there's this clip that's going around that's basically pretty viral that's showing, she's pointing them out to whomever is filming her. And I don't know if it's a news organization or if it's just somebody that's in her camp or whatever. excuse me. But yeah, so she's pointing it out. She's pointing the names out. And I've seen more than a few times people, women specifically, tweeting their support for her doing this, but also saying, okay, but go further. Go further than this, because this is borderline a stunt. And everything is a stunt. Everything is a performance. But I hear what the criticism is in that it's cool that you did this, but now your next film project, will you champion for a woman director, or will you still perform the next time it's this obvious that women aren't supported, women directors aren't given the same opportunities? You know what I mean? So anyway, so that was a conversation that was happening. People are mad that Little Women was snubbed or didn't get much. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of literature that we were told to read in school, elementary, high school and college, that never resonated with me. And Little Women was one of them. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I couldn't see myself in it. It's not the cultural reference at all. It's the fact that I thought it was boring. I thought it was boring and I didn't want to read it. I'm more of a, it's about taste. So I'm going to tell you now, could not get through the book. How do you, in the world, do you expect me to get through the movie? I know that Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who you bring in to be your actors. It's still a boring story. Sorry. Anyway, so yeah, I know people are in their feelings about it not winning, and then in this instance, I really do have a problem with the story simply because I think it's boring. And the writing is boring to me, but that's me because I like different, I don't know. It's just me. You can call me whatever. You can say I'm not refined, but I read a lot of stuff. Some things that are boring to other people, but like that one was boring to me. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, but in the movie, they really did have an opportunity to be, never mind, let me not even talk about the diversity of the cast or the main cast or whatever, because I didn't watch it, so I don't know what they had. I don't know who they hired to act and in what roles, so let me just stop. Point is, people were feeling things that Little Women did not do better at the Oscars, and some people said, oh, that's racist, and white feminism strikes again, and stuff like that, and I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle, but again, I don't watch Oscars, the Oscars, I don't watch many film, or what do you call it, award ceremonies, and I don't like Little Women, because I think it's a boring story, so I don't have a dog in the fight. Anyway, but yeah, so that was happening, and then, you know, the Gayle King thing happened where, again, I did this thing where I, like, paid attention, but I didn't pay attention, where she interviewed Cheryl Swoops, I think it was, and how people were mad that Cheryl said that she didn't believe that Kobe's legacy was as complicated as people are making it, because he still did a lot of good, and I don't understand the point, at least from what I'm gathering, that snippet of the interview said, I don't understand the point of continuing to make a big deal about their missteps, a person's missteps, or in this case, Kobe's missteps, without also really spending a lot of time talking about all the things that he did after the fact that were good. And people responding to Gayle King in a very specific way, saying that she was, excuse me, saying that she was, I don't know, I don't think I understand really the frustration on either side. People are complicated. People are complicated. Your grandmother is complicated. Your grandfather is complicated. People in your immediate family, whom you love, have done some egregious things in their life. Nobody is a saint. And I think trying to immortalize or memorialize a person in this day and age is just difficult. Because it's difficult only because we're so quick to react. We're so quick to judge. And sometimes we can't just let sleeping dogs... Well, no time can we let sleeping dogs lie. Or do the decent thing, which is recognize the passing of a person and move on. We don't do that. And let their family and their friends and the people that knew them best and were positively impacted by them grieve, while also allowing people who don't have such a sunny, rosy experience with that person or memories with that person, allow them to grieve too, right? We don't create space for both of those. What I grew up with was, you don't speak ill of the dead. And that's that. You always speak, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say about the person who's passed, you don't say anything at all, but that's not how our society works. There is no decency and order when it comes to many things, and, you know, critique has its place. I just think we, in this moment, we're a little too caught up in trying to be on the right side of history in certain things that I think we're forgetting ourselves a little bit in this moment. And so I don't feel no ways about Gayle King raising a point as a journalist, because that's what journalists do. And then people basically going after her for raising that point, and on both sides, actually, of the argument. Anyway, I don't know. I'm tired of those sort of conversations, because it's just tiresome. What can be gained from the conversation other than, oh, well, let me react the way, I don't know. I don't know what can be gained from a conversation like this. Where you can't do anything but look like an ass at the end. Excuse me for cursing. At the end of it, no matter what aspect of the argument you're trying to argue or you're trying to defend, you end up looking like a jerk in the end. Because what is true is that this person is gone and there ain't nothing you can do about it. So let us move on. Let us just move on. Lay this person to rest and let's just move on. So lots of stuff happening, including this week, the thing which I'm going to talk about today. It finally piqued my interest this week, the Fallow case. Twitter had been talking about it, and I hadn't been paying attention because, again, that's what I've been doing here lately. I'm so busy these days that I'm just trying to focus. And again, I think I've shared that I'm just frustrated in my career, but in my work now. And there are some things that I'm looking for that aren't there, that I need to make some decisions soon as to what I'm going to do about that. Am I going to stay or go sort of situation? And so anyway, there are certain things that, you know, when I go to social media, I'm looking to laugh. I'm looking to think about something I don't normally think about. I'm not usually going into cold cases or active missing person cases, because sometimes the details of those things can be a bit much for me, can bring me to a place that I don't want to go. So I had been ignoring, for the most part, the finer details of this Fallow case. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, so basically, Lori Vallow is a woman who essentially, well, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell are in the middle of their newlywed couple. They got married in November in Hawaii. And for all intents and purposes, everything about their marriage, their honeymoon and all of that is pretty normal. It's pretty standard. The issue becomes with the fact that, Lori, that the issue becomes that Lori has two kids that nobody has seen since September 9th. And Chad has there are more details that come out about both of their former spouses, Lori and Chad's former spouses. I guess the biggest thing that stood out was the fact that those kids have not been seen since September of 2019. And it's confusing because, you know, those kids went missing. Those kids went missing in September. She gets married in November, and in the marriage, in the ceremony videos, or in the ceremony photos that were released, I guess, by the photographer, the wedding photographer, it's a solo wedding, meaning, or not a solo, but it's like just those two, just Chad and Lori, were in the wedding, and there was an officiant. No one appeared to be a witness. No one appeared to be a part of the wedding party. There was no wedding party. It was just those two on the beach, looking happy, looking, you know, doing the marriage thing, doing the wedding thing. And meanwhile, she's supposed to have her two kids. Anyway, so this story, this story is fascinating. So I'm going to talk about the main details, and then I'm just going to talk a little bit about the reactions that I've seen on Twitter and social media. Okay, and so if you are outside of the United States, which some of you are, this case, as I think I mentioned, this case is really, really fascinated a lot of folks, and me particularly, because a lot of the folks that I follow, or at least Black Twitter, is talking about this case for a different reason other than the fact that these kids are missing, but the fact that now these kids are missing and have been since September. I don't know where I got September 9th from. I think it's just September, the ninth month of the year, 2019. These kids have been missing since September 2019. But the mother is not in jail. She's not in custody at all. And a lot of folks are like, had she been a person of color, had she been Black, she would have been up under the jail by now, because you have not seen those kids since September. And again, the truth is somewhere in the middle. I do think that this is an unusually strange case, because I don't know any situation. People have been convicted for murder without any proof of the body, finding the remains. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, people have been convicted of murder on the strength of this, of not having a, do you know, like, why is she not in jail? Why is she not in jail? And I don't know if that's the same can be true in other countries, but certainly in the United States, you can be convicted of murder. If all of the evidence points to you had something to do with the disappearance of this person, even if you can't find that person's body, those person's remains anymore, and you can't prove definitively that that person is no longer here, or no longer living, you can still be convicted and go to prison for the rest of your life, or whatever the punishment is in your state. So, excuse me. So I'm not 100% sure why this woman with her fiance are still bebopping around in Hawaii, which the last report that I read, it appears that they're in Hawaii. But let me give you the facts of the case. So, and I'm probably going to butcher this first name. Anyway, Tylee Ryan, 17, and 7-year-old Joshua J.J. Fallow disappeared after moving to eastern Idaho with their mother, Lori Vallow, in 2019. Neither child has been seen since September. The move, so just backing up, they lived in Arizona. And so a lot of the reports that I read are from Arizona, because that's where they were. So they moved from Arizona to Idaho, and then they haven't been seen since September. But again, we know that Lori has been seen. Now, here's the deal. The move from Arizona, they disappeared from Idaho, right? Eastern Idaho, right? So the move from Arizona to Idaho came not long after the death of Charles Fallow, Lori's ex-husband, who was shot to death by her brother in July. So if you Google this case right now, there's a lot of media posts that come up, a lot of news stations across the United States have taken to talking about this and have reports on it. But what we know is that in July, there's this police recording Lori's brother calling the police and saying, I just shot, you know, I got into a fight. I got into it with my brother-in-law and I shot him. Right? And so, yep. So July, Lori's ex-husband is shot dead by Lori's brother, right? The other piece of this is Chad, Daybell, Chad Daybell, Lori's now husband, his wife died recently under suspicious circumstances, right? And by recently, I don't know if it was September. It was like September. So Lori's husband was killed in July. I believe Chad's wife died like September, October, whatever. Now, it wasn't October, but I guess my point is, based on the facts of this case that I know, she hadn't been laid to rest long before he got married to Lori in Hawaii in November. So it's just confusing. So number one, there are these weird circumstances that are happening, right? I guess what makes it weird is that, how is it that both of your former spouses are no longer living? How is that? How is it that you two found each other and now you guys also share the fact that your former spouses are no longer living? And what is more, regardless of when Chad's wife died, whenever she died, it was within 60 days of him marrying Lori in Hawaii, right? If you look at those pictures, and again, you will see them when you Google this case, Lori Fallow and Chad Daybell. I'm sure the honeymoon pictures are the first thing, or the wedding photos are the first things that come up. They look super happy, super just into each other, like they don't have a care in the world. And again, if you're just looking at those photos without any context, there's nothing abnormal. There's nothing out of the ordinary about those photos. It looks like two people who are maybe middle age, who have found each other, and they are choosing to express their love to each other in this very specific way. And you do notice that there's no one else around except the officiant. And that's what they've chosen to do. It's like two people have made this decision and it's between them, and they're going to do this. They're going to celebrate this together. And they're starting this new thing together, just the two of them, right? And that's a beautiful story in and of itself. But then you take a step back and you add the fact that Lori has two kids, a 17-year-old and a 7-year-old, who haven't been seen since September. And a former husband who died. I don't even know if it's a weird thing. It's just he's dead. He's dead at the hands of her brother, which would make me think that in July, the thing happened in July. You know what I mean? Like, it's at this point, it's like 7 months ago, 6-7 months ago at this point. That's not a lot of time to pass to be able to deal with that, to be able to deal with the loss of your kid's father at the hand of their uncle. Right? And then when you look at Chad Daybell's side of the thing, okay, let's just assume that his wife passed away in the fall. That's no time for you to grieve. Even if you guys were estranged, that's still no time for you to grieve. But then, I don't know, So the reason why I'm talking about this in the first place is because Black Twitter got me into it, right? Because they were talking about, oh, she would have been up under the jail. And let me tell you why she would have been up under the jail. And the reason why they're talking about it so is because I don't know if it's the Idaho police from the town where they moved to, or it's the Arizona police that are involved. But there's a police force that's involved, and they have essentially set a series of deadlines for Lori to produce her children, and essentially giving her the benefit of the doubt, it's coming across as if they're giving her the benefit of the doubt, saying, oh, you know, yeah, show us your kids. Give us proof that your kids are not even alive. Just show us your kids. We want to see your kids. We haven't seen them since September. There are people that are worried about them. What's happening here? What you doing? And she's missed every single deadline. And what? Like, again, what we know is that in the United States, you don't have to have a physical body of a person who's deceased to be able to convict someone of their murder. So if you don't have to have the body present to do all of that, then why in the world isn't she already in custody and some proceedings are beginning to happen? I don't get it. This is the legal care. This is the legal guardian of those two kids. That's that. That's it. Like, again, their father is passed. Their father is gone. You gonna need to produce these kids. So the situation now is like, oh, this department is, they're bumbling idiots. Obviously, there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is not great. Like, why are you giving this woman so many passes? What are you doing? Why isn't she in custody? Why aren't you doing more? So I looked at the story the other day, or yesterday, actually. And yesterday being Monday, because I'm recording this the day before release. Anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I looked it up, and what reports are saying now is, from what everybody can tell, Lori and Chad are still in Hawaii. And they're going to church and attending, you know, trying to live their normal life. And now there's this piece of the story that's coming out that Chad and Lori are part of a cult, some sort of cult. Now, I know people throw around, especially in the United States, we throw around the phrase cult, right? We do that a lot. There's a lot of mystery when we say it. There's a lot of mystery around the phrase because there's a lot we just don't know about cults as a general public. We tend to kind of throw that phrase around a lot. But what I did see was that some reporters had caught up with Chad and Lori going into whatever their church was. And I can't help but think, ooh, if I was the leader of that particular religious center, I'd be like, you know what? Love you down. But you making it hot for my congregation right now, and I'm gonna need you to cool it. I will counsel you. But you can't keep bringing these people to my door. No, you can't do it. We will surround you in love, but you gonna have to act a little bit right. And oh, by the way, where are your kids? Where are you? Can I help you? Is there anything you need me to do legally? Is there any legal thing that you need me to do? Because I don't know. I can't believe. I know what I would do if that sort of thing happened. And I was the leader of this religious center and two of my congregants were embroiled in this foolishness. I'd be like, okay, well, come on, come talk to me. You got to talk to me, not to be nosy, but like, come on, you bringing this to my doorstep. I need to know how to counsel my congregation, and I want to be able to be supportive of you. And also, where the hell are these kids? Where are your kids? It's not a complicated question. It shouldn't be a complicated question. That's a separate issue, but I'm also at this point wondering, okay, so the spouses in both of these scenarios, Chad's former spouse and Lori's former spouse are out of the picture, right? So two things I want to know. Number one, I want to know from Lori's brother, what actually happened? What were the circumstances of that thing? And just to rule it out, did Lori put you up to this? Did Lori give you any, make you any promises that, and you know, just spitballing here, but did Lori make you any promises that if you should take out her ex, that she would, you know, give you something, give you money? Yeah, give you money or give you something for your trouble. Because it seems awful convenient. It just seems awful convenient that that sort of thing would happen. And I've watched way too many movies to assume that. So this scenario comes out of me watching too many movies. Number one, she outright asked her brother to take care of him because I got you on the other side of this thing. Or number two, she set it up so that she would pit her ex against her brother, and that she knew her brother was volatile and had anger issues, and that he would flip out and do something egregious, and it could possibly lead to this situation. And it did. That is a fantastic story. One heck of a story and one heck of a movie. Maybe the truth is more simple than that, but like, what if like that's what she did? Or what if it was just like, no, this thing happened and I wanted to move my kids away from all this foolishness. But then I got to think, okay, well, Lori, you and your brother, y'all don't have any other family. And also the Vallo, where's the rest of the Vallo clan? In this whole thing. And I'm sure that at this point that they've spoken out, because those kids have been missing since September. So I'm wondering, what's the rest of the Fallow clan have to say about all of this, about the circumstances of their loved one being murdered, and then also the fact that those kids, in short order, this thing happened in July, and then they moved in September, and nobody saw them since. Like, that's pretty quick. That's before September, depending on where you are, is either before the start of the school year or right at the start of the school year. So I don't even know if the little one, either one of them made it to school. So that's the one side, right? What about the Fallow? What about the rest of the Fallow family? And what do they have to say about it? And then what was the circumstances of the brother getting into it with Lori's ex-husband? So that's one side. Then the other side of it is very similar questions. What in the heck happened to Chad Daybell's wife? What were the circumstances of her passing? And what does the family have to say about it? What does Chad's family have to say about it? What does his former wife's family have to say about it? I don't, those are the voices that are missing, or at least those are the voices that I'm not hearing right now, but that doesn't mean that they're silent. It's just, I'm not hearing those voices. And again, there's so many questions swimming around this that, again, why are they not in custody? At least for questioning. Well, Chad for questioning and Lori for being a fugitive at this point, because she should have. It's not as if, okay, your children are your direct charge. You are their caregivers. They're in your charge, right? How come you can't produce them? We live in a world where you cannot just hide your kids. You have to enroll your kids in school or you'll get in trouble by the city. You know what I mean? Like, you can't live in a place and not have your kid either enrolled in public school or enrolled in private, or there's some record that they're being homeschooled without your jurisdiction, or at least in the United States, your jurisdiction coming down on you and getting you together. You can't. That's just the way it goes. And so again, I'm confused. Just like Black Twitter, I'm confused why not only does it appear as though there's not a sense of urgency, but that she's there's not a sense of urgency to find these kids, but that she's still free to walk around and just be. I think that's the thing that's at the core of the frustration I'm seeing on TV, on Twitter, even beyond the fact that of the cultural differences. We know that if she was a person of color or if she was poor, that this wouldn't be, we wouldn't even be talking about how many deadlines she missed. She wouldn't have had an opportunity to miss too many deadlines because she would have been in custody. We put people in jail for not being able to pay their money, for not being able to pay a fine, right? And we put them in jail as a way to work that off, right? Because our bail system sucks, right, in the United States. So you mean to tell me that if a poor woman was in the same situation, that she would have been given multiple deadlines? She would not have. She wouldn't have. And I'm not saying that Lori is affluent. I'm just saying it seems awful weird, the facts of this case. And again, I don't know the police department that's looking into this. I would think it would be the Idaho Police Department, since they moved to Idaho. So whatever jurisdiction they're in Idaho, I would think that they were in this. But then again, whereas the Arizona people, which is where both Chad and Lori are from, that they would be more so looking into not the disappearance of the kids, because that's in the Idaho jurisdiction, right? But the deaths of those spouses, those former spouses, that's like the two pieces that are here. And obviously these are three different cases, right? You've got the case against the kids, then you've got the case about Lori's former partner. But I mean, if there are no links there, there aren't any there other than the fact that that was her brother took her former husband's life. But then on Chad's side, obviously it's, what in the heck happened here? And is there a case? Again, there could be no case at all. It could have been a freak sort of thing. I find it ironic that both of these two people from Arizona, something within a 4-month span happened to their spouses to take their lives, or their former spouses to take their lives. And now you run off and are married now. You guys are married. And you could argue that, you know, they're married in tragedy and they're kind of bonded through tragedy. Just seems a little weird. Seems a little not the thing that should be happening. And I mean, don't you, it's not one of those things that you need to think too difficult. You need to think too deeply about. This is the facts of this thing are strange. Also, where the heck are those kids? We still haven't seen those kids. And at this point, many folks are assuming that those kids are no more. Now, there's no proof. There's nothing that's come out that says Lori had anything to do with the death of her ex-husband, right? And as far as I know, that there's nothing there's nothing out now that says Chad had anything to do with the death of his former wife. So there's nothing right now that says that sets up these two to have anything to do with the disappearance of Lori's kids. But nevertheless, here we are. Like, at this point, as a parent, why aren't you coming forward and saying, listen, there's nothing wrong here. My kids are so-and-so, but they need time to heal. There's a lot that's happening to this new family that we've created. There's a lot happening right now, and I don't understand why the media is in our business, but our kids are not being seen on purpose because we're trying to shield them. Now, I don't know how you shield a 17-year-old from the media, because what we know is that teenagers are always on social media. Even in school, they're on social media. And a little tidbit that I found out, or that I read a couple days ago when I was first looking into this case, or at least looking into the reports about it, was that the teenager's cell phone was used in Hawaii, but they can't, just because it was used doesn't mean that it was used by her, which, fair point. So you have the cell phone. That doesn't mean that she has the cell phone. It just means that somebody does. But again, I think that's, excuse me, that's weird for a 17-year-old to not have a social media presence right now. And since September. That's very weird. So I don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, the last story that I read, they made it seem like authorities believed that they were still in Hawaii and they were looking for them. And they were making it seem as if they were going to at least put them in custody. So we'll see. We'll see what ultimately happens. I just think that it is interesting that those kids have been missing since September and the mother is not in custody even now. And here we are in February. And that I'm reminded in many ways about the, what's her name? Kaylee. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Out of Ohio. The woman who, Kaylee Anthony. I forgot the woman's name, but the Anthony case, where, long story short, the child went missing and Kaylee basically kept her mouth shut and lied and kept the truth hidden from the child, that the child was missing for months or almost for a month, just over a month or something like that. Y'all remember the Anthony case? Casey Anthony. Kaylee was the daughter that unfortunately lost her life. But Casey Anthony, who has since changed her name and started all the way over, that whole case. This is reminding me of that in a lot of ways, in that this person is being given a lot of chances. This mother is being given a lot of chances to answer some basic questions, and they're not doing it. So we'll see how it turns out, but I pray that those kids are well. But it's looking like they're probably not. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway, so before I hack my head off, and I apologize for hacking through this whole episode again, not well, but you know how it is. If the weather were warmer or if the weather were colder, here in Maryland, maybe I wouldn't be sick. I don't know, but I'm around a lot of sick people. And it was only inevitable, despite the fact that I try to be very careful. You know, sickness happens. What were they saying? That this was, we're on pace to have the warmest winter in Maryland history. It's just been raining for the past, week and a half. It's just been raining on and off. It's super soggy here, right? And I just can't help but think that, and I follow this reporter, Jane Miller, who's super awesome. But anyway, she reminded me that, you know, 10 years ago this time, we had just experienced our second blizzard. Like, we had two back-to-back bombs, snow bombs, basically. And they dumped so much snow that it was hard for us to get around here in Baltimore. Like, for real hard. Like, it was, I don't even remember the inches, but it was to the point where the mayor had to put a curfew out during one of the snowfall periods because it was so much snow that it was dangerous and it would take too long for emergency vehicles to get to you should you get into an accident. So we go from that to 10 years later, it's raining and it's soggy here. It's just rain. And it's more rain today. So I hope the weather does change. I do need some snow badly so that we can start killing off these germs. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I hope you are well and staying well and keeping yourself together, mind and body and soul, and you're doing your things. And thank you so much for listening today. You know what to do. I'm getting tired, but you know what to do. Please leave me a favorable rating on all of the places where you listen to this show. You can leave me a message by clicking the link in the show notes. You can even donate if you want to. Even 99 cents is a helpful contribution. But if that's not your thing, just share this episode or any episode that you think is interesting, with anybody that you think would enjoy it. Because that's how you're going to help me spread the reach of this show. Again, it's a hobby that I do. So it's not my life, but it's something that I'm passionate about and I enjoy it. And so, I'd love to hear from you to talk about this case or any other case from wherever you're from that's interesting and the facts of it and how the police force are responding to it and how social media where you are responding to it and all of that. I'd love to have those conversations with you. So yeah, go ahead and leave me a message through the anchor.fm app or that link. Again, you can click the link in the show notes and it'll take you to a place where you can just leave me a message right there. Anyway, all right. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Until next time.